Every 2 weeks, we catch up with someone in the travel industry who can give us some insights, tell us some useful stories, tell us something interesting. Of course, we do this with travel.co.za, which you can go and check out. They've got all kinds of very, very cool deals. The last time, we spoke to somebody from Beachcomber. You know, they do all those amazing resorts in Mauritius. And Mauritius is a favorite destination for South Africans. Today, we're going to meet Wilson Toro, who's the country manager for Air France and KLM in South Africa. I know that Air France and KLM are two of the biggest carriers in and out of South Africa. So a lot of people who are traveling to Europe will fly on both of those airlines. So it's a great pleasure to meet you. How are you, Wilson? Nice to see you.
Likewise.
Yeah, your first time here. So what do you think of the place? This is Sunil. Don't pay any attention to all his faces of himself on all his clothing. I promise you, he's psychologically very sound. So
yeah, one thing I noticed that you're very cold right now with all your jackets.
Yeah. If we do put the aircon on to like minus 14 degrees or whatever, minus 14. What are we at now? Okay. Tiny. Everything's tiny. We feel like we've just taken an Arctic plunge. This is our form of a cold plunge in the morning. All right. So listen, running these two airlines is a big job and you guys do a lot of flights. I mean, I've flown on both KLM and Air France. Mm. And if you're going to Europe, it seems like that's one of the most popular ways to get there. So how's business?
Yeah, I mean, we've had a fantastic run after COVID. Obviously, one
yeah,
of the
sure.
challenges
took a
that
huge
we had
hit.
Was when is travel going to come back to pre-COVID levels? And if you look at 2022 and 2023 and even going on to 2024, you see that the numbers have far exceeded 2019.
Wow.
Which I think is great news for South Africa specifically because we are a country that attracts tourists. And
excellent.
If the route does well, it means that more and more people are coming here.
Right, so you're bringing people in as well as taking people
absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely, yeah.
Are your planes fuller coming in or fuller going out?
Oh, well, people usually return, so people going from here or coming the other way. There's always traffic on both ways. But just to give you an idea of how full the flights are, we are roughly around 91% load factor.
Fantastic.
Oh, wow.
Okay. That's very, very good. All right, so tell us quickly. Obviously, it's expensive business being in the airline business and your margins are often quite thin. You have to worry about things like the fuel price. You have to worry about capacity, how full 91% you said your planes are. So South Africa is an important place for KLM and Air France to do business.
Yeah, so South Africa is one of the strategic markets for us in Africa. For a lot of reasons. Of course, we have been flying into South Africa from Paris for 91 years.
That's amazing.
Not 91. That's 91. How old the company is. That's how old the company is.
Oh.
No, 71 years with Air France.
So hang on, 91 is also held. You've got 91% full flights and the company, and Air France is 91 years old.
Air France is 91 years old.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So we've been flying here for 71 years out of those. And on KLM.
Félicitations.
On KLM side. We've been flying to Joburg for 85 years. So we have
very
a long
good.
History here. We've been committed to South Africa. And most importantly, I think we're the only airline that continued to fly here throughout the COVID pandemic, which means we brought South Africans back, the ones who were
right.
stranded in Europe and the rest of the world. But we also took the Europeans back. So so that was, of course, a big exercise for us because getting all the rights, getting all the permissions, especially during the COVID period when the rules were changing every second day, it was quite quite an operation, I must say. But to answer your question, our commitment to South Africa is very strong. We will also increase our capacity to Cape Town this summer season. So all in all, we'll offer a total of 27 weekly flights into South Africa.
Amazing. 27 flights a week.
Yeah.
That's terrific. And there's also a lot of pressure on airlines to be sustainable, be environmentally conscious because they talk about the carbon tax and, you know, your carbon footprint and all of this stuff. Now, I'm not the biggest fan of governments telling us that they can improve the climate by taxing us more, but they pass that pressure on to you guys and you are doing your best to make sure that you keep the kind of impact that you have on the environment to an absolute minimum. How does that work?
Well, I think it needs to be looked at from different angles. You know, the biggest carbon emissions that we have comes from the fuel that we use. Obviously,
yeah.
when you're flying from Joburg to Paris or Amsterdam, we're talking about a few thousands of tons of CO2 in the atmosphere. So that's a responsibility that we take, and we need to do something about it. So that there's many ways of doing it. First, of course, you modernize your fleet, because the older aircrafts, you remember the 747s, which were fuel guzzlers, those are all gone. And now we focus more on twin engine aircrafts. And these twin engine aircrafts obviously have much, much lower fuel consumptions, which means less CO2 emissions. So that's the number one part that we want to focus on. We have a lot of new aircrafts coming in. So we replace the 737s with the 321s. So it's larger capacity.
Right.
But also looking at how can we fly directly from point A to point B without taking too many detours. And that is particularly important in Europe. So if you're flying in from Amsterdam to Madrid, it's not a straight line. You always have to, go according to how the air traffic controllers will direct you. And sometimes it means flying 10-15 minutes more.
Yes.
Can we replace the domestic connections with the rail combination? So if you're flying from Johannesburg to Amsterdam, do you necessarily have to fly to Brussels? You can then arrive in Amsterdam and take the train from the airport straight into
20 minutes to Brussels from Amsterdam.
So there are so many different ways of doing it. Obviously, you cannot take a train from Europe to South Africa, but we're trying to do all of these combinations, work together with the different rail networks in Europe, in France, and also in the Netherlands. And I know that other counterparts in Europe are doing the same. And I think that's really where you can kind of come on, bring in the changes. Can we taxi with one engine instead of both the engines? What can we do with regards to the wastage on board? So 80% of the waste that's collected on board arriving into Paris and Amsterdam is recycled. So the bigger picture is, can we also do that in the countries we operate? Can we do that here in South Africa? Because I think all of this waste ends up in the landfill, but there is a possibility of recycling. But the most important one is sustainable aviation fuel. So today we use fossil fuel, which of course is the way most of the aircrafts fly. But we use around 1% of our fuel as sustainable aviation fuel. And sustainable aviation fuel, based on the entire chain of this fuel itself, has around 70-80% less CO2 emissions. The problem with SAF is that the production is very low currently.
Right.
We don't have enough SAF in the world, which means that the price of the sustainable fuel is 8 times more expensive than the fossil fuel.
Yeah, and just as a passenger, I don't care enough about the environment for you to drive up the price of my ticket just because someone somewhere has decided they feel bad about the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere. Keep those prices low. KLM, all the KLM flights fly into Amsterdam from South Africa. All the Air France flights fly into Paris.
That's correct. Yeah.
So De Gaulle in Paris and what, Schiphol in Amsterdam?
Schiphol, correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And then from there you can do your...
Yeah.
I mean, those are two very, very cool places to start.
Yeah.
Because you can get anywhere from there. If you're going to Europe, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So actually KLM was the first airline in the world. It's the oldest airline, if you know. It's 105 years old this year.
Koning Klicke Luchtmachtkapai. Something like that. That's what
no, but it's 105 for. Years old. In fact, on the 7th of October, we turned 105.
Wow.
And ironically, both Air France and KLM were both founded on the 7th of October.
Oh, wow.
How cool is that, right?
Something to celebrate. That's very, very good.
So we had a big celebration on that. But the concept of hub and spoke method, which means that people flying from all over the world into a central point and then connecting to the different parts of the world, was started by KLM many, many years ago. And I think for a small country like the Netherlands, it was important because we don't have a big domestic population to kind of fill our planes. So the concept of bringing people from all over the world and connecting them was actually originated in the Netherlands.
And it's such a competitive world, airlines, right? I mean, you're always kind of having to look at what the other guys are doing, where they might be innovating, what sort of advantages you have in the market, what kind of advantages they have. That must keep you very, very busy.
But I think it keeps us busy for the right reasons. You know, if you look at the advancements or the technologies that's been applied in the airline industry, we're probably one of the slowest. I mean, if you look at the likes of Amazon and some of the other, companies that have come up in the last 10, 15 years, they use technology to their benefit. Airline industries are just coming out now. So when a competitor comes up with something new, we embrace that. We embrace that because it helps the industry. And I think at the end, if it's something that we can apply. One of them is the Wi-Fi on board, for instance. Yeah. You know, it was not something that was new. But if you're sitting on an airplane for 11 hours, it's always nice, especially if you're traveling on business, to spend 1 or 2 hours doing some work, or even stay connected with your family because you have free WhatsApp messaging on board our flights.
That's awesome. Okay, so give us some tips here, because I always like to have, when we do this feature, which we do with Tervis Travel Services, with travel.co.za, always like people who are in the industry to help us figure out some of the hacks about, like, where's the best place if you're in economy to book your seat. If you get in early enough, you can still choose where you want to sit. Some obviously have to pay more for, but where do you, if you had to give advice to a friend or family, where would you say the best place to book your seat should be on the plane?
I would say business class.
obviously. Okay, sure. But failing that.
No, I mean, look, the popular seats are usually the bulkhead seats, the ones in
more
first row where you have more legroom, exit row seats, then you've got window, and then of course you've got the aisle seats. So those are the popular ones. And if you're traveling all by yourself, it's always obvious that you would want those seats. But sure. If you're traveling with family, then it's always nice to take the four seats in the center, because then you just, you know, you have your own little space for yourself. Yeah. But you have the option of booking your seats at the time of purchasing your tickets and also your bag. So, you know, there is a lot more choices today in terms of where you prefer to sit. And you'd be surprised, you know, everybody has their own preference. Obviously, nobody likes to sit in the middle seat, though.
No, not in the middle of a whole bunch of strangers. That's probably the worst possible outcome. But, you know, there are these people who swear that if you book, like, right at the back, that it'll be better. But that actually doesn't make terribly much difference because, again, you don't know who else is going to be around you.
Yeah.
And the plane has to fill up. Otherwise, you're not making money. So you're not going to book a plane where there are suddenly five rows that are open. I mean, that would have been bad management on your part, right?
Well, it does happen. Of course, there are some lean periods, especially if you look at the September, October period. If you're looking at April, May, there are some lean periods when the flights are not overly full.
Oh, really? That's when it is. Yeah. So essentially spring and autumn.
Yeah, but you also need to look at the destination that you fly to. So if you're flying to Amsterdam or Paris, it's pretty straightforward. It's dependent on the special occasions here in South Africa, but also in Europe. But if you're flying to the US and if there is a conference happening in New York, I mean, those flights, even though your flights from here are not very full, will be more expensive because the flights from Amsterdam to New York are more full. So it's got a combination of a whole lot of things. But we, over the years, have developed systems that allows us to make some kind of assumptions on what the demand would be. So, you know, there's this misconception that I book 1 year in advance and get the cheapest prices. No, the system knows that on this specific day, there is going to be a demand because it's Easter holidays or it's something else, and then automatically adjusts its prices. So so we have a robust system running behind the scenes. And I think it's important because if you talk about 90 million passengers that we carry as a group every year,
wow,
$1 is $90 million.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, $1 more.
Absolutely.
Is that what it comes out to?
It's an incredible, and it's a very difficult thing to run an airline. So I don't envy you at all.